Thank Brother Art for his prayer, as well as each of you who have prayed for the speaker this evening. I, too, like to say I appreciated Brother Steve's sermon this morning. Always good to hear again from those that are not preaching on the regular schedule. So we appreciate that. And I might say that tonight's message dovetails a lot with this morning's. It's more of a different aspect, but it certainly involves it. So I guess that was a prelude. The title to this evening is Being Merciful Like Our Father. During World War I, a German soldier plunged into an out-of-the-way shell hole. There he found a wounded enemy. The fallen soldier was soaked with blood and only minutes from death. Touched by the plight of the man, the German soldier offered him water. And through this small kindness, a bond was developed. The dying man pointed to his shirt pocket. The German soldier took from it a wallet and removed some family pictures. He held them so the wounded man could gaze at his loved ones one final time. With bullets raging over them and war all around them, these two enemies were, but for a few moments, friends. Two enemies saw each other's needs, and at that point saw each other as humans in need of help. And even in the horrible circumstances that they found themselves in, acts of mercy were shared. And all the more as believers this evening, shouldn't we, who are experiencing the ultimate act of God's mercy, shouldn't we be people of mercy? The answer is a resounding yes. I'd like to consider just three ways that will help us to grow at being people of mercy. And this is obviously not a done list, but these are three ways that certainly will help us. I believe that one of the most important aspects necessary for us to be merciful people is to better realize what Brother Steve preached about this morning. How that God's mercy has been extended to us, to better realize it and to better appreciate it. Lamentations 3:22, familiar verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. In other words, you and I ought to be consumed. That we have no right of our own to even be alive. But it is of his mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning it's because of his mercy that we have life. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh help. It's because of his mercies. And Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We need to continue to grow in realizing and appreciating the marvelous mercy of God upon our lives, and it will help us then to be more merciful. Think about this. On one hand, we have God. He's holy, completely perfect, not even the smallest trace of sin within him. Not even a slight blemish of character. Everything he does is right. He has perfect timing. He never slips up. Then on the other hand, there is us. We're humans, disobedient sinners who have broken his law. Even as believers, at our very best, still, we have hearts that are prone to wander. There's not one little speck within us that merits God's mercy. Not one little speck. His mercy is something that we can hope for. We can hope for it, but certainly never expect it on the basis of us deserving it. His mercy is something that we can beg and plead for, but never demand. Yet God has willingly and lovingly poured or lavished his mercy upon us. Oh, that we could get a better grip of that. A better grip on the extent of the mercy that God has shown us so that we can grow at being people of mercy. It has that kind of an impact when we realize the mercy that's been extended to us. Someone has said that the longer we walk in the garden, the more likely we are to smell like flowers. I'm assuming flowers are planted there. You know, the more we immerse ourselves in the blessedness of God's mercy that's been showered upon us, the more we immerse ourselves in that and think about it and realize and appreciate it, the more likely we are to give out mercy. Well, secondly, I think to become or to grow at being people of mercy, it's not that nobody here is a person of mercy, but I think we'd all agree we could all grow at it. And there's times we fail. But secondly, we need to realize that Brother Steve was emphasizing this morning, but all believers can be merciful. And in fact, are commanded to be merciful. You know, it's not a matter of whether we have the gift of mercy. You know, well, I don't have the gift of mercy, so I tend not to be as merciful as someone else. That's no excuse. We can't excuse a lack of being merciful on the basis that mercy is not one of the foremost characteristics of the spiritual gift that God has given us. All believers are to be merciful. You know, true Christians are to be people who are known for showing mercy. You try that in the world we live in today. And see what for response you get. Being a person of mercy. The mercy that we're talking about is more than what we see in this world. You know, unbelievers can be merciful. Certainly we've all experienced that, I think, where an unbeliever has actually been merciful to us. Whether it's in the workplace or in friendships or whatever that may be, unbelievers can be merciful. But the mercy that's to be characteristic of genuine Christians and that Jesus is referring to when he gave the Beatitudes, when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's a mercy that is a result of God's grace and mercy that's at work within a person's life. It's different than the mercy that unbelievers can give. It's much more. It comes only from a heart where God's grace has previously worked. Therefore, the mercy that we are to show comes from God. It's a result of God's grace in our life and working in our life. It's a gift of his grace in the lives of all believers because God's grace has been at work in every believer. So every believer has that gift available to extend to someone else the gift of mercy. However, it is our individual responsibility to willingly choose to make use of it and to practice it. The gift is there. If God's grace is at work within your life, and it is as a believer, then the gift is there and it's our choice to choose to make use of it and extend it to people and to practice mercy. I want us to notice something concerning the Beatitudes where Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." The first four Beatitudes deal with the inner part of mankind, the heart and the mind. Their focus is on how we see ourselves before God. Very important. and our attitudes before him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It addresses the need for a humble attitude before God, seeing our sinfulness, poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It speaks of a godly sorrow over sin. Again, our attitude before God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. An attitude of humility that sees the holiness of God. And in light of that, I need to be humble. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It speaks of an intense desire for sin to be replaced with godly virtues and disobedience to be replaced with obedience. Again, how we see ourselves before God. And then the four beatitudes that follow those, beginning with blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They are then outward showings of the attitudes of the first four. In other words, when we are humble or poor in spirit and see ourselves for who we really are before God, recognizing our need of God's mercy, we then are in a position to give it out to someone else. Blessed are the merciful. Likewise, when we mourn over sin, we see it for what it really is. We then are led to purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And when we are meek, humbly see ourselves before a holy God, we will seek to make peace, won't we? Sure. Blessed are the peacemakers. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, desiring godly virtues and obedience, then we're willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they who are. The point is this, the Beatitudes are for believers. They're for believers. And their foundation is God's grace at work in a person's heart. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That is for believers. And all believers, therefore, are to be merciful. He's not just putting it there as an option. And the reward of obtaining mercy is promised to merciful believers. Now, something we should add here, that if we're merciful, it doesn't mean that we will always receive mercy from other people. Jesus didn't. But what it does mean is that we are promised mercy from God. From God. Notice again, from those Beatitudes, the importance of a right attitude before God and receiving his mercy, seeing ourselves humbly before him, poor in spirit, not deserving of his mercy. And then we're in a position to extend it to someone else. Well, not only can all believers be merciful, but as we said, we're actually commanded to be merciful. The verse, or the last verse that Brother Art read begins there in Luke 6, verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful." That's not an option. That's a command. Be ye therefore merciful. For us to grow as being merciful people or grow in being merciful people, we need to appreciate God's mercy more. We need to understand that all believers are to be merciful. And it's a command. It's not just a nice addition to our Christian life. You know, it makes them a little bit better Christian because they're more merciful. No, it's a command that all believers are to be merciful. And then thirdly, in growing and being merciful people, we are to follow our Heavenly Father's example. The verse that I began to read and I didn't finish it, the last verse again that Art read there, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful." How? As your Father also is merciful. In other words, follow your Father's example. Follow our Heavenly Father's example. Well, how is God merciful? Well, we already mentioned this. But he's merciful by showing mercy when it's not deserved. I want us to think about that. You know, we're fine with, we like to think about, you know, God's mercy upon me. I don't deserve it. I understand that. And we're fine with thinking about that. And wow, that's a great thing. How would you give me mercy, God? I know I don't deserve it. But when we transfer that to horizontal relationships, it's a little bit different, it seems. Or a little bit troubling. There's a tendency for us to think that someone has to be deserving of mercy for me to extend it to. Isn't it? You know, we think that if I'm going to extend mercy to them, they should be deserving of it. But you know, we have to ask ourselves, we go back to the same question. Do we deserve God's mercy? You know, I'm so glad that he doesn't hold us. I'm so glad that God doesn't hold us to the standard of being deserving of his mercy. Can you imagine that? We could try and try and try, and we never make that standard. We never reach the level where we're deserving of his mercy. But we may think, well, a person doesn't deserve mercy because they lied to me. They don't deserve mercy. What has happened? What's happened when we lied to God? Mercy. Mercy. Well, that person stole from me. You don't understand. Have we stolen from God? What'd he do? Mercy. Mercy. You don't understand, that person hurt me. They betrayed me. They don't deserve it. Have we ever hurt God? Have we ever betrayed him? What's he offer? Mercy. Mercy. Yeah, but that person neglected me. Have we ever neglected God? What's his response? Mercy. But they don't deserve mercy. Someone has to pay for this. You know what? Someone has paid. He's called Jesus. And you're right. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve it. And we're good at saying, I don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord. But when it comes to someone else, sometimes we hold that leash out there and we hold them to it. We say, I don't think you deserve it. I'm not going to give it. What right do we have to do that? Verse 35 there in Luke 6 says that God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He doesn't base the giving of his mercy on whether someone deserves it. Just as he is good to the, sends rain to the just and the unjust. He doesn't base his mercy on whether someone deserves it. How is God merciful? Well, secondly, God's merciful by being forgiving. In Titus 3:5 again, I want to read the whole verse this time, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That verse tells us that God's forgiveness of our sins flows right out of his mercy. So to follow our Father's example of being merciful, we have to be forgiving people. As hard as it can be at times. Part of being merciful, to follow God's, our Father's example. Because he, in his mercy, forgives us. That means then if I'm going to be a merciful person, I have to be willing to forgive. Something else about God's mercy that we're to emulate. God's motive for mercy is love. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. From those verses we see that love is the motivation behind God's mercy to us. It's because of his great love for us. He extended mercy to us. God's love for us was always present. His love for us was always present. But his mercy responds to our needs and our troubles. Likewise, as believers, we are to have a constant love for others, are we not? Love your enemies. Love your friends. Love fellow believers. We are to have a constant love for others that God has placed in us by his grace. And then out of that love, when needs and troubles arise in people's lives, we are to respond with mercy as God has. Never is the mercy we extend to someone else, never is it to be motivated by selfish desires or personal gain. You know, if I extend mercy to this person, I'll get a kickback. That's not the motivation for the mercy that God is talking about. It never is to be motivated by selfish desires or for personal gain. We are to follow our Father's example of being merciful. He's merciful even though it's not deserved. His mercy results in forgiveness, and his mercy is motivated by his love. We need to appreciate more God's mercy that he sent to us. Get a better grip on it. And sometimes that's tough, but appreciate it more. We need to realize that all believers are to be merciful. In fact, we're commanded to be. So it's not really an option. And then follow our Father's example of being merciful. And we'll wrap this up with this. What does it really mean to be merciful? Now, we already made connections there with following our Father's example, but let's define it a little bit here. And you could define it differently, perhaps, but to be merciful is anything done without selfish motives that will benefit someone in need. Anything done without selfish motives that will benefit someone in need. To be merciful is to offer relief to someone of the load they carry, or to help do away with their pain or difficulty. Now there's oodles, as we say sometimes, of ways that we can do that. Prayer, physical help, gifts, whether it's monetary gifts or gifts of time. I mean, it can go on and on and on. Encouraging words. Turning the other cheek. You know, the verses that Art read there really are loaded with practical ways of being merciful, not expecting anything in return from those we lend to. Loving those who don't love us. We need to be merciful in our attitudes. That's a tough one sometimes. We can look real merciful on the outside, but boy, our attitudes inside might be cutting the person up. Merciful in our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And now, this doesn't mean that we don't deal with sin. It doesn't mean that we never give rebukes. Doesn't mean that we don't discipline or that we don't preach sermons on judgment. And I believe that we can still do all those things with attitudes of mercy. I believe you can. You know, but if I can't wait, or if a preacher can't wait to just get to that sermon on judgment, boy, I better question my attitude. About a month ago or several weeks ago, I was in New Jersey and delivering at a restaurant there. And it was about lunchtime, and it was a tight parking lot, fairly tight. It was a little hard to get around, and I had to back around the back of the shop there, the back of the restaurant, to try to get finished unloading. And a lady had just pulled in, parked in a parking spot. She had two young boys with her, and it's pretty much where I could have used that space to swing the tractor. She just parked. So I got out, and I went over to her, and I said that, explained it to her. I said, would you mind moving? I hated to. She was not a young woman. She was actually a grandma. The two boys that were with her were her grandsons. I said, if you trust me, I'll stay here with the boys. The boys were standing there to make sure that they stayed out of the way. She said, okay. She said, she told them to stay with me, and she said, sure. She got in and moved her vehicle, and it wasn't real easy for her. She had to back around and try to get over to another spot. And I thanked her and so on, and they went in to eat. I appreciated it. I thought, and I thanked her, that would have been sufficient. I just had this feeling that I should offer some money just as a little gift to pay for the boys' ice cream or food, whatever. And again, this is not to put me up. This is just to try to get to an exam or to make a point. And there's many times that I mess up. But this time I actually followed through, and I went in when I was done, and I found where they were sitting, and I didn't really give them that much, but I had a bill that was appropriate. I went in, I went up to the table, and they just were receiving some of the food, and I just put it on the table, and I said, here, use this to pay for some of the boys' food. Thank you. That was a small gesture of kindness. That really wasn't even an act of mercy. That was a small gesture of kindness. You know, someone has said that mercy is the deepest gesture of kindness. Think of the blessing that we'll receive. You know, I felt really good. I really was blessed by that, and I think she was. But I was blessed just by that small gesture of kindness. Think of what it would be like, or what it's like, when we offer mercy, the greatest gesture of kindness that we can give. The blessing that we receive and that person receives. It's a kindness that we need at home. That we need to extend to our spouse. That we need to extend to our children. It's a kindness that we need in church. That we need at work. We need it at school, and even when we're playing. Whatever that play is for you. You might think you don't play anymore at 60 or 70, but I'm venture to say there's a few times you do, or at least some things you might do that we could consider play. You know what I'm talking about, or you get the point. It's a kindness that we need to share with those who love us and those who don't. Again, the verses that were read in Luke 6. Those who treat us well and those who don't. Those who we give to and will never give back. Therefore, be ye merciful. Not because we're so great a people, but as your Father, God, is merciful. Be like him. That's our challenge this evening.